October 7th, 1986.
Good morning and welcome to Feedback, a public affairs presentation of WCIE. Today's program will begin in just a moment, but first a reminder that our phone lines are open for your questions and comments. Please confine your remarks to the subject being discussed on this morning's program and be as brief as possible so others may call in too. Now, here's your host for Feedback, Tom Trolson.
And good morning. 3 minutes past 10 on a Tuesday morning. Welcome to our monthly nutritional update. Ted Brewer back with us, and one of everybody's favorite topics concerning nutrition this morning, fasting.
Yes, that's a real big one, Tom. I'm sure everybody does it on a regular basis.
Of course, we're being facetious here this morning, unfortunately. Why is it, you've talked with a lot of people about fasting, why is it, even among Christians, that fasting is not very popular?
Well, because it's self-denial primarily. And, you know, and most of the time when people start fasting, they go through toxic withdrawal and their body starts to loose itself of all the elements that have been put into it, all the toxins that have been put into it. And a lot of times you have headaches and nausea and you just don't feel good. It's like changing your diet. And if you're addicted to sugar, stop, you know, just the consumption of sugar or caffeine. And people don't like to deny themselves if it makes them feel bad.
We are told on occasion from the pulpit or in a Sunday school class or in some type of a church setting about the spiritual values of fasting. We want to talk not only about that this morning, but the physical values in it as well. And also just the value of disciplining yourself through fasting. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 58, unless you're driving your car, then you can just listen. And we're not going to read the whole chapter. And the whole chapter starts with, as in true fasting, is the caption on top of the chapter. And the one I want to read is verse 8, and it says, "Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard." And this is the key that we're looking at this morning as far as fasting, is not only the spiritual aspects of fasting, Tom, but also the health aspects of fasting. Because so many times we don't realize how important God's Word is to our health. And He's given us one of the biggest secrets to health that we could ever have, and that's in fasting. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit in depth as far as what it really means. But there are some scriptural things that we need to be aware of with fasting. And I thank Pastor Strader for sharing some of his notes with me on this. And that there are things that we should not be doing fasting for. In other words, we shouldn't be fasting to win an argument or to prove a point. Okay? That's not healthy because it's not good to do that, number one, as far as for your body or spiritually. But what we can accomplish in fasting is we can loose the bands of wickedness, we can undo heavy burdens, we can let the oppressed go free, we can break every yoke, we can deal bread to the hungry, we can shelter the poor, and we can minister to our loved ones. And this is all covered in depth in Isaiah chapter 58, and I urge all of you as fellow Christians to read this and to meditate over these words that are spoken about fasting, because fasting really is a critical aspect of the Christian walk. A few weeks ago, we had an evangelist come to our office, and he was speaking with me, and he was kind of shaken, and I said, well, you know, what's the problem? He said, well, we just got off the airplane coming from up north, and while I was sitting on the airplane, there was a man sitting beside me in the seat next to the window, and he wasn't saying anything, and he had his eyes closed, and he was just sitting there, like as if he was praying. And so I asked him, you know, are you okay? And the man said, well, I'm fine. And close his eyes again. The guy said, well, obviously he didn't want to talk to me, but he felt burdened that he needed to say something to the man. And so the man, he asked him again, he says, well, is there anything I can help you with? And he says, is there a reason, you know, that, you know, you're not eating any food that they're serving, you know, or anything else? And he goes, well, he goes, I'm a member of the Satanic Church. And he goes, and I'm fasting and I'm praying now for Christian households to fall. And I said, oh. And the guy said, oh. And, you know, and it just shocked him so much. He said he just prayed in tongues all the way home, you know, the rest of the flight. But the thing that's so frightening is that we don't realize that what fasting does as far as a spiritual awareness. You know, Satan has got, you know, we think that, you know, Satan's running around, sliming around everywhere, and he does, you know, he's a dummy. Well, he's not. And he's got these people believing that he's going to win this battle. That's the thing that we don't realize. And, you know, he's a liar. He's the father of lies. And so what they're doing is they're fasting to have more of a spiritual walk with him. And see, and this is what we're called to do is fasting, because it's a spiritual law. Whatever you're worshiping, you'll grow closer to it while you're fasting. And this is what you find out on a fast, is that if you fast for like more than 3 or 4 days, you start to have a more of an enlightenment as far as the relationship that you have with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. And he begins to infill you and to walk with you and literally to talk with you and to be with you while you're during this fast. And you can walk through the woods after you haven't eaten for a week or so, and you see things in a totally different perspective, because all the little earthly things, such as eating and trying to, you know, worry about the little petty things in life, no longer are of any importance to you. It's amazing how it works.
Where does a person start? Perhaps somebody that has heard about fasting, perhaps they haven't, and they're beginning to recognize the value of it. It's something that God expects us to do, but they don't know where to start. I mean, it's eating is something that we do, you know, commonly every day, and we're talking now about intentionally not eating for a reason.
That's right. Now, the thing that we have to be aware of, there are some conditions that would have warranted that you wouldn't fast, or you would only fast under a medical doctor's supervision who has been therapeutically trained in fasting. I repeat, he needs to have been trained in fasting, because many doctors have not been trained in fasting. And what I suggest that a person does to start with is they start missing one meal a week. Well, that's not much of a sacrifice, and I think we all do that, but start doing it on a systematic, rhythmic basis. Let's say on Friday morning, eat your breakfast, miss lunch, and have dinner Friday night. Well, then you've missed one meal that week. Okay, then do that for several weeks and get used to missing that meal on Friday. Then the following few weeks, start missing Friday night's meal. Okay, well, then you're just fasted for 24 hours. Eat breakfast, miss lunch, miss dinner, and then you've not eaten for 24 hours, which is an excellent way to go. Now, that has an interesting thing as far as weight loss and weight gain, too, that I want to bring to you. I've lost a considerable amount of weight, around 40 pounds over the years, and I've never had a problem with regaining it. But I try my best to fast one day a week, every single week. So that's 52 weeks a year I don't eat. People don't think about it like that. In addition to that, I try to go on 4 7-day fasts every year, which is another 28 days, which leaves me 80 days a year in which I don't eat any food. Well, that means 3 months out of the year I haven't eaten, roughly. Well, it's pretty hard to have a weight problem if you don't eat 3 months out of the year. And this is something you need to realize, that fasting is a fantastic way to maintain your weight. You know, contrary, people say, well, you shouldn't fast, it's not healthy, you're going to die if you fast. That's not true. If you do decide to go on a fasting program, there's a few things you need to remember. Number one, don't tell your friends. If you tell your friends, guess what they're going to tell you? About the third day, they're going to say, you look terrible. You know, look how pale you are. You've got to feel bad. You need to go home and lay down. You've got to be ready to die. You're going to die. I mean, I can't believe that you're doing this to yourself. You're fixing to check out. I mean, you know, I know you want to be with the Lord, but, you know, you're going to go today. And they tell you these things. And it's a very negative type of relationship with the friends that you have. And by the fifth or sixth day on a fast, they'll say, hey, you know, you better break this thing. Are you nuts or something? You know, I'm serious. You know, you really have a death wish. And it goes on and on. And it's unbelievably negative what they can say to you. Now, on the other hand, if you decide you're going to fast and you don't tell your friends, they'll come to you the third day and they'll say, boy, your skin color sure does look a lot better. You're losing weight, aren't you? What kind of diet are you on? Where'd you get this diet program? Boy, you're looking good. I bet you you're feeling, and you're going to start feeling better. About the fifth day of a fast, you really, really start feeling good. Now, there's a reason you don't feel good the first couple of days, and that's because during a prolonged fast, after like the first 3 days, the body begins to live on its own substance. And what it does first is it starts to decompose and burn the cells and tissues which are diseased, damaged, aged, or dead. So in fasting, what you do, you start using the inferior materials in your body as fuel. And so what the body will do is it's been proven and documented that cells and accumulations and tumors and abscesses and damaged tissues and fat deposits, etc., are actually dissolved by the body and used as fuel.
It's kind of a reserve.
That's right. And what the body's doing is, you see, we don't realize that even if we fast or even if we don't eat, our body's in continual cell replacement. For instance, about half of our cells are in peak performance all the time, a quarter of our cells are being replaced, and a quarter of our cells need to be replaced. And we don't realize that the protein in those cells is what we call a dynamic state, and it's being used over and over again. If you refuse to give your body protein, it will digest the protein in these diseased and damaged cells, and it will rebuild new tissue cells. One of the principal reasons that people age more quickly than they should in this country is because their cells become old and worn out, and they're not replaced properly and when they need to be replaced. Now, some of the other things that happen is that the body needs a tremendous amount of energy every day just to go through our daily activities. For instance, we're all concerned about paying the bills, and you know, that's a good thing to have, is a concern about paying the bills, because if you don't pay your electric bill, the lights get turned off. And so we're always worried about these things, but we use an incredible amount of energy just doing our little daily activities. And what fasting does is it allows the body to no longer have to hassle with trying to digest food, but allows the body to go into what we call a house cleaning phase, in which it will actually start to clean up all the old toxins and poisons in the tissue. you. Now, many toxins and poisons that we've talked about on many other shows, Tom, are put into the diet through our, you know, into our bodies through our diet. There's all kinds of pesticides and residual effects from all these drugs that we have into our system through the foods and through the food chain that we get. And a lot of these things are stored in our body, and a lot of them cause additional cellular weakness, and a lot of them are stored in the cells. When you start fasting, a lot of these drugs start coming out because the cells are being broken down. And that's why a lot of times people have headaches and nausea and vomiting and everything else while they're fasting, which is pretty frustrating.
How often and how long would a person need to fast if they just wanted to do that on a regular basis just to cleanse their body? Can you do that in a day or not?
Well, to start with, you need to go on a little bit longer of a fast than that, but we don't recommend that anybody goes on a fast for longer than like a day to start with, or even missing a meal every week. Because if you do that and you shock your body, you know, we don't want you to go through such toxic withdrawal that this is such a negative experience for you that you never want to do it again.
Of course, that's the common reaction from so many people. They'll say, I tried to fast, but I felt so bad, I thought I'd better stop.
Well, join the club. We all go through that when we fast. But what we need to realize is that these cells need to be cleaned up, that our body chemistry needs to be cleaned up, and all this toxic accumulation in the body needs to come out, and the only way that it can come out is through fasting. Now, also, there are other eliminative organs in the body, and people don't realize that the lungs give off toxins, that the liver gives off toxins, the kidneys give off toxins, and the skin gives off toxins. In fact, many nutritionists have said that the skin actually eliminates about one-third of the total body's toxins. And so, you know, a lot of times we are so toxic in our bodies, and I've seen this many times, that a person's skin will begin to erupt. And they'll start having acne problems or complexion problems. Not always is this the case. Sometimes it's a hormone imbalance. But a lot of times they're so toxic with their diets that when they fast and start to cleanse their diets, many times these conditions disappear because the body starts to cleanse the tissue inside out.
Let me remind the audience that we're not going to open the phone lines this morning until the second half of the show. All right? Both phone lines have been ringing for the last 10 minutes or so. Those folks are welcome to call back at 10:30. Okay, we do welcome your questions and comments this morning. We do want to spend the first half of the show strictly dealing with the written material, and then we'll open the phone lines about 10:30. It's 10:15 at this point. Okay, going back again to somebody that is just starting fasting, what is the danger of starting too fast? Somebody that has perhaps never fasted before and says, well, I'm going to jump right into this thing and I'm going to go on a 5-day fast.
Well, there are some definite problems involved with the person who wants to do something like that. Number one, chances are the person's not going to make it through anyhow if they've never done it because they're not ready for it. But number two is, let's say if the person has a chronic condition, let's say he has heart disease. But let's say the person, contrary to what he knows he should have been doing, he continues to drink 6 or 7 or 10 or 15 cups of coffee a day. Well, his body becomes addicted to the caffeine and it's used in his cardiovascular system pretty much. And if he stops the consumption of caffeine on a fast, he could put himself in some type of cardiac shock, and he could cause himself to have a heart attack, which is not good. And so this is why it's very, very important that if you are addicted to these drugs, and I hear Christians all the time, well, I'm not addicted to caffeine, and I say, well, why do you drink it? And they go, because I like it. And I say, well, just don't drink it for a couple of days and see what happens. If you like it, it's no big deal. You can start back in a couple of days if you're not addicted. And boy, I tell you, they call me the next day and say, oh, I've got a headache. Oh, I feel bad. And they're not fasting. All they did was stop taking the drugs into their system. So pretty much it's sometimes healthier to go ahead and eliminate a lot of these drugs that you're putting into your body first before you put your body into such a tremendous shock. Secondly, it's very, very important to drink copious amounts of distilled water during a fast, because the body has to be able to flush these toxins out of the blood through the kidneys. Now, unless you're on a really therapeutic-type cleansing fast, you really have no way of cleansing the colon, and a lot of these toxins are dumped back into the colon, so many of them are going to be eliminated through the skin, through the breath, and then also through the kidneys. And so this is very important to drink a lot of water so you don't overload the kidneys as far as concentrations.
What if somebody wants to have something other than water, like fruit juices or something? Is that all right during a fast?
As far as I'm concerned, a fruit juice fast is a better fast than a distilled water fast. And there's a reason for that. The body still has the available carbohydrates to give it the energy that it needs to continue in its normal work pattern, and it doesn't get so hungry. But because you've not given the body the protein that it needs, okay, because there's no protein in fruit juice, the body still has to go into what we call cellular lysis, or it has to still digest these old, diseased, and damaged cells. So fasting with fruit juice is far more preferable, I believe, than just pure water fasting.
Right, but you certainly recommend intake of fluids,
yes,
during the fast.
And if you don't just drink fruit juice, drink a lot of distilled water with the fruit juice. People don't realize how important it is to drink water. Someone called me on a show here a while back and said that in the book of Esther that she had been called to a strict water and, you know, no water and no food fast for 3 days. And I understand if someone is spiritually called to do that, okay, I'm not refuting that. And that's if they're spiritually called, that's between them and the Lord. But we have to realize that back in the book of Esther, okay, Esther wasn't exposed to 3,000 to 5,000 chemical food additives every day. Esther didn't have all this DDT in the food chain. Esther didn't have all these poisons and all these toxins in the food that she consumes every day. They didn't have all that stuff. They didn't have a polluted atmosphere. They didn't have polluted water. And so their bodies weren't nearly as toxic as ours. If we go on a 3-day waterless, you know, foodless fast, what will end up happening is our toxins will become so concentrated in the bloodstream that we could probably end up with a lot of health problems from it. So it's always best to use a lot of water while you're fasting to help the body to eliminate these toxic poisons.
Even after somebody has developed somewhat of a regular pattern of fasting in their eating habits, will they still have the reaction the next day or the day after that of headaches or just not feeling well? Is that still common?
No. What ends up happening, let's say if a person, this is what I recommend that someone does if they want to start fasting and do it properly, miss a meal for a few weeks, like on a Friday. Always do it the same day of the week so the body establishes a pattern, a rhythm. We call it circadian rhythm in biology. And make sure that the pattern is developed and have the person come in and just, you know, or you personally, whoever's doing the fasting, just one meal a week, just miss it. Miss Friday morning or breakfast or one, just, it's no big deal, you know. It's not that big of a hassle to miss a meal. We all do that anyhow, but we don't do it on a systematic basis. Do that for several weeks in a row and then start missing lunch and dinner. Well, then that just puts you on a 24-hour fast. And it makes it a lot easier to get into that day. But always remember to drink a lot of water during those days. Then do that for 6 weeks. And on the 7th week, you need to go on a 3-day fast. And again, on a 3-day fast, you can use just water or you can use fruit juice. So fruit juice really isn't necessary until about the 3rd or 4th day of the fast.
If there is so much value physically and even spiritually in fasting, why don't we hear more about it from the medical community? I mean, it's such not an easy thing to do, but in a sense, a natural thing.
Well, we have to remember that our doctors, or most of them, are very overworked. And a lot of times if a person is very, very ill and they need to be put on a fast, they need constant supervision. And they need to be trained, you know, need to be right there with the medical doctor the whole time so he can monitor electrolyte levels and everything else. And it's a very hard thing to do. And it's very difficult because, you know, you're working with a person and that's requiring almost constant supervision. And so it's pretty time intensive.
I'm wondering if part of it goes back to what we had talked about in an earlier program as well, that in a sense we have put the medical community now in an emergency situation rather than they weren't intended to be that way. It's really our responsibility to stay healthy and not expect the doctors to make us well after we've lived any way we've wanted to.
That is exactly right, Tom. See, most medical doctors, in fact, almost all of them are trained in treatment of disease. And see, and fasting is not a treatment of a disease as far as the American Medical Association is concerned.
It's a preventative measure in a sense.
But it is to us as far as Christians and for what it does as far as in nutrition. But as far as the American Medical Association, I don't even think they recognize fasting as having any type of therapeutic value. And this is fine because, you know, that's what they've been trained in. But we have to remember the Word of God tells us to do one thing, and we as Christians aren't bound by any, quote, establishment like the American Medical Association or anybody else. We're bound by the Word of God, and the Word of God tells us to fast. Even Jesus, when he was asked, why couldn't we drive these demons out, he says, this type only comes out through prayer and fasting. And we need to realize the importance of drawing closer to God through the spiritual aspect of fasting.
It's 10:21. You're listening to a Tuesday edition of Feedback, our monthly segment on nutrition with Ted Brewer. And we will be waiting until the second half of the program to open up the phone lines this morning. So if you're attempting to get through, please wait until about 10:30 or so. And we'll allow you to call in with questions and comments at that time.
Well, so many times we don't even think about how bad of a state our health has gotten into. And I spoke with a gal here recently who had been fasting. And while she was fasting, she had gone to the grocery store and bought these diet drinks with NutraSweet, and she decided that they tasted better than water, and so that's what she'd use. Well, there are a lot of chemicals in those types of drinks, and they're not healthy when you're trying to eliminate the toxins from your body. It's not healthy to start putting toxins back into your body. Before I knew about the importance of fasting as far as just with distilled water, I used to fast, and I used to drink coffee, because I didn't feel good unless I drank my coffee, and so I'd get my headaches, and so I didn't like that. So I continued to pour caffeine in my body for my 2 or 3 or 4 day fast, and I always felt okay because I was always stimulating myself through my adrenal cortex and stimulating adrenaline into my system to stimulate the liver to release glycogen and push my blood sugar up to always keep me feeling really good. So my body never really started doing what it was supposed to do, and it always stayed toxic because of the additional poisons that I was putting into it. And I tell everyone on the radio this is because I want them to understand that, hey, I'm just like everybody else. It's just taken me several years to get my diet and everything straightened out, because there was a time, and, you know, we've talked about unclean meats. After you've fasted several times and gone on some 10 or 12 or 14-day fast or even 7-day fast, the body starts to become so purified, because all the damaged and diseased cells that are carrying all the toxins have been destroyed by the body itself, that when you start eating meat that isn't healthy or food that isn't healthy, your body rejects it. You lose your taste for it. It's unreal what happens. And so many times I hear somebody say, well, I went on a 7-day fast, and I don't even if I think about pork or I think about something, it repulses me. Well, it should repulse you. Again, as we've mentioned on the earlier broadcast, 1 out of 3 people autopsy now in this country have trichinosis. You know, it's a very subtle killer. And again, it doesn't matter as far as scripturally whether we eat it or not, because we've been free from the Old Testament dietary laws through the New Testament through the blood of Jesus. But these natural laws that God instilled in us from the beginning of time have not changed. You know, there are some types of food which are simply not healthy to eat. Now what they're doing with pork is they're subjecting it to 20 million times the amount of a chest x-ray. They're irradiating it, trying to kill the trichinosis, because they realize, the FDA realizes the unbelievable problem they have with trichinosis poisoning in this country, and now they're subjecting it to radiation. And now we're eating radiated meat. I mean, you know, where's it going to end? You see, in the body, the cellular replacement is slowed down by the accumulation of waste products in the tissues, which this interferes with the nourishment of the cell. This is what causes the aging. Nutritional deficiencies, a sluggish metabolism, a lifestyle which is basically sedentary, poor digestion, overeating, a lack of fresh air and rest. These are the things that cause the cells to break down and become old before their time. We were at the farmer's market the other day buying some vegetables, and there was a gal sitting behind one of the counters there, and some gal said to me, you know, she's only 37 years old. And I looked at her, and she looked 67. She was extremely overweight, and she looked terrible. Dark circles under her eyes, and I started thinking, wow. You know, so many people, though, they say, well, you know, when I get about 40, it's all over now. It's time to go downhill. I just finished reading a very good book by a man who is a Christian who has been trained heavily in fasting, and he was about 90 years old when he wrote the book, and he had fasted on a regular basis his whole life. He led exercise classes. He's known all over the world. The guy was a picture of health. He swam every day. He exercised every day. But he died last year, 92 years of age. He died during a surfing accident on Waikiki Beach and falling off a 20-foot wave and hitting his head on coral. I mean, the guy lived his life to the fullest, to the very end. He was a specimen of perfect physical health. And his main thing he said, the thing that he did, is he drew closer and closer to God through his fasting and keeping his body pure with pure air and pure sunshine and pure water and just pure food. And it's amazing what we can do with our temples if we just keep them cleansed of the horrible toxic accumulations. For instance, if we continue to eat a lot of junk food, we have a lot of different types of bacteria that grow in our colon. One is called Bacillus coli, which is very toxic. This toxic bacteria dumps a lot of poisons into the colon. A lot of these poisons through the portal vein in the liver are reabsorbed back into the body from the colon. These toxic poisons tend to poison our bloodstream. When our bloodstream gets poisoned, it starts to poison the brain and the way the brain thinks, because the brain can't think properly. Well, you think, well, food isn't that important as far as spirituality. Well, if you don't think very well, and if you don't feel very well, and if your head's all foggy, it's very hard to draw closer and closer to God. But when you clear your body of all these putrid accumulations and all these poisons and toxins that are in the bloodstream, then the brain starts to think so much clearer. Now, I just finished a 7-day fast several weeks ago, and it was amazing how sharp my mind was at the end of that fast. I thought, wow, this is unreal. Because my body and my blood and everything else had become so cleansed that I said, this is great. This is beautiful. This is what God intended us for us to be like with this, you know, to be able to think this way and not have all these little things bothering us in our minds. And it's amazing, you know, what fasting will do as far as restoring health. Now, I want to caution people, especially with husbands and wives, do not decide because you're going to fast that your family is going to fast. Do not force them into involuntary prolonged starvation, okay? That is what you will do. And if they are negative, the negative state of their mind and their fear of their life, okay, they're afraid they're going to die, will exert a paralyzing and disruptive and destructive force on their body functions. And many times this can cause physical damage to the body and even death. Do not fast if you do not want to fast. Do not be coerced into fasting. You know, this is something God has called us to do, and it's something that's important for our spiritual walk as Christians, but if you've got a negative attitude about it, don't do it, because it's not going to help you and you won't get the benefit effects. However, if you have an intentional positive attitude and understanding and confidence in the Lord and the Holy Spirit and Jesus, that fasting will have a beneficial and constructive effect on your body. It'll do exactly that. And then the body itself will regenerate the cellular process to replace these old and worn out and diseased tissue cells and allow the body to be cleansed and allow the body to actually slow down the aging process is what happens. So, again, if you're suffering from cancer or diabetes or tuberculosis or any type of cardiovascular disorder, any other serious disease, you should only be under a doctor's supervision who has been trained in fasting, because it's important.
You had talked about your family fasting along with you. Is this something that's safe for children, or is it for adults only?
Oh, no. It's good for kids to miss a meal. It makes them realize. A lot of times you send a kid to bed hungry and you think, oh, what have I done? My child's going to die by morning. That's ridiculous. It's not going to die. We have this whole thing. The media has so programmed us into eating three balanced meals a day. Well, first of all, in my opinion, they don't even know what balanced meals are, especially with the type of advertising they put on the TVs. The advertising on TV promotes food that's low in nutrition and high in fat. Most of the Americans consume a diet that's 55% fat, and it should be no more than 10% at the most, I feel, and 10% protein and about 80% carbohydrates. But everything's twisted in the media. All the food that's advertised, or most of the food that's advertised, promotes food that's low in nutrition. And they're the people that I've got to try to compete with, so to speak, in trying to convince people about the merits of eating properly and in fasting.
How do you approach the subject with children? It's hard enough with adults to convince them that there's a value in fasting. How do you handle it with your kids?
Well, the way I look at it is the family, that fast together and prays together is not going to have a problem with that. If you have prayer time with your children all the time, you show them what the Bible says and you tell them how Jesus taught about fasting and what Isaiah talks about fasting, I really believe that the children will respond to that. And they may not like it. Okay, and they may whine a little bit, but you can always...
Adults do the same thing.
Yeah, that's right. The kids are just monitoring what the adults... If the adults have a positive attitude about it, and the kids don't, you can always get out Mr. Stinger. But this is what people need to realize, is that, fasting, as far as I'm concerned as a Christian, is not an option. It is something that we need to do on a regular basis to help in our awareness of Jesus with our spiritual walk, etc. And it's something that once you start doing, you will be amazed at the health results that you will find just through it.
We've got about 2 minutes now before we take our mid-program break. What do you want to squeeze in that 2 minutes?
Well, again, let me go ahead with some of the other spiritual aspects in fasting. It'll actually aid you in prayer. It'll help to humble your soul. And I'm going to give you some of the scripture references of 2 Samuel 12:16-23, Psalms 35:13. It helps to chasten the soul, Psalm 69:10. It aids in temptation, Matthew 4:1-11. It rewards openly, Matthew 6:16-18. It attains power over Satan, Matthew 17:14-21. It helps to crucify appetites in 1 Corinthians 7:5, which includes appetites of hunger, of sex, of security, of recognition, of power. You see, we have to realize that the fasting will actually draw us so much closer to God that so many of the things which seem to be so important to us now will be seen in a different perspective.
What about somebody that is considering fasting and don't really know if they're in good health or not? Is it a good idea to maybe get a checkup or something before you go into a fast, especially a lengthy fast?
Well, again, I would suggest that anyone who had decided to fast would start doing it by missing one meal a week. That, of course, in my opinion, would require no special checkup. And then they will see how their body responds. Because, again, once these cells start to be digested, a lot of times, a lot of the accumulations and the toxins will be flushed out of the system, and they will have these withdrawal symptoms. And this is why I heard Pastor Strader one time say on the radio that people didn't want to fast, because he was talking about fasting, how people didn't want to fast because they got headaches. Well, that's part of it. And until your body gets cleansed, your body's trying to tell you something. It's kind of like when you get up in the morning, and many of you listening may be able to relate to this, and there's this thick, horrible-looking stuff on your tongue, okay? People don't realize that they have just fasted for 8 to 12 hours, and their body has already started to pull this debris and garbage out of the tissue, and it's being brought to the surface on the tongue. And you get it with this horrible taste in your mouth. Well, that shows you've got a pretty toxic body chemistry. And it's time that you get this stuff out of your system once and for all, because the body has to be cleansed from the inside out. Remember, we are the temple of God, that God's Spirit lives within us, and that we want to have a healthy temple for His Spirit to stay in.
It's 10:31. You're listening to a Tuesday edition of Feedback and our monthly nutritional update with Ted Brower. We're talking about fasting this morning. We're going to take a 30-second break. We'll be right back, and we'll be opening up the phone lines. It's 10:32, and we're back live with a Tuesday edition of Feedback. We're opening up the phone lines this morning at 858-3805, our monthly program on nutrition, and we're talking this morning about fasting. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm calling from Tampa, and I was wondering, did you have any advice about pregnant women fasting.
Yeah, I do not recommend that pregnant women fast at all, especially on a pure water fast, because if the blood sugar drops too low, they can't abort their baby.
Oh, okay. Well, are there any type of fast that a pregnant woman could go on?
Not that I can even recommend to you that would be safe, ma'am. That's way beyond the scope of my expertise as far as dealing with pregnancies, and I recommend you to a pediatrician concerning that. I don't, again, recommend that pregnant women fast at all because of the simple fact that when you start pulling all these toxins back into your body, you may toxify the fetus, too, number one. And number two, if your blood sugar does drop too low, there is a high probability that you will abort the child, and that is not healthy, okay? And so that's not what we're trying to do. So I appreciate you calling and asking me that, and that's a good point. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
It's 26 now before 11 o'clock. We'll go right back to the phone. Go ahead, please. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm calling from Tampa. And I have a couple of questions. Well, first with a comment that I really feel like and support what Mr. Grower is doing, because if the church, those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, really did, you know, could be concerned about their health and eat right and all, then the world would look on and want to come to us and wonder what it is, you know, and there would be the chance to share Christ. But amongst, you know, the health benefits of sharing with them. And then my question, I have a question about the hydrogenation process, you know, that they put some foods in. And I also have a question about the benefits of acidophilus cultures, whether or not they're really that beneficial or not. And also about supplements, you know, what Mr. Grower's feelings are about these new, you know, the United States Science Association, whatever it's called, they've come out with this new supplement thing that's supposedly gives you all your data requirements and certain things. And so those three questions is what I'd like him to address, and
okay.
I'll hang up.
All right.
Thank you. The first question that you asked concerning hydrogenated oils, I recommend very strongly that you do not consume any products which contain hydrogenated vegetable oils. This includes margarine. The reason for that, they are trans fat and they're very hard to assimilate by the body, and they will actually elevate triglycerides and cholesterol levels when, in essence, what you're trying to do is reduce them by eating margarine. Will actually elevate them. That's number one. Number two, you asked me about some specific products on the market. I really don't want to comment on any specific products. That's not the point of the show, but I can give you some specific guidelines. If the product has a K with a circle around it and it is kosher certified, I can recommend it, period. As long as it's a balanced product and it contains 100% of the USRDA's of biotin. If it does not have a K with a circle around it, I will not recommend that vitamin product, because chances are that's a chemical extract and that's not what I consider to be a healthy product. And what was the other question? That
supplements.
That was the one on the supplements. Yeah, and that's the hydrogenated vegetable oil. Cut that out and make sure the supplements are kosher certified.
Okay, there was one in the middle there that dealt with something I can't even remember how to pronounce it, but I think it started with an A, some long...
Oh, acidophilus.
That's okay. The one.
Yes, the lactobacillus acidophilus is one culture that you can use to help repopulate the colon with a good type of E. coli. However, there are some problems with that, because if the bacillus coli has grown to out of proportion and strength in the colon, a lot of times a lot of the putrid material, such as phenol and other types of toxins that are developed by this lactobacillus, the bacillus coli, these words are getting me twisted here, the bacillus coli will continue to toxify the body. If you are interested in getting on a complete detox program, including helping the body to eliminate a lot of the putrid waste that are in the colon, then you can always send for the information packet. We'll have some additional information in that. But that question is in itself an hour lecture, and it's beyond the scope of this conversation this morning. But yes, the lactobacillus acidophilus is the only culture that you can take orally which has any chance of surviving through the stomach acid and helping to repopulate the colon. However, its effects are limited, and a lot of them are destroyed in the digestive process.
All right, let's go back to the phone. We have 24 minutes left. Go ahead, please. Good morning. You're on the air. All right, we'll try the other phone line. The number this morning is 858-3805, and if you don't mind, let us know where you're calling from. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm calling from Sebring, and I want to say something about fasting. I went on a fast at a particular time because the devil was shipping me truckloads of fear. The Lord blessed me, but he gave me something I didn't ask for. The Lord gave me a diet plan. I'm 20 pounds overweight, and he gave me wisdom. And it's called God's Diet Plan. And the Lord will really bless you spiritual if you fast. And I understand teaching that people shouldn't fast just to lose weight on their bodies, but to get closer to the Lord. And he'll give you wisdom about your body. And he gave me moderation and not be the lust of the eyes. Cause you can grab food because it looks good, smells good, but if you're not hungry, the Lord will show you you don't need it, so don't touch it. And I just want to know more about a doctor's supervision, because I have a friend in church who's got diabetes. Can they fast if the doctor is supervising? I'll hang up and let you talk.
All right.
Thank you so much for your comment there. Yes, fasting is important from a spiritual aspect, and we always recommend that a person be in a spiritual realm of mind before they fast. That's why it's so important that you do have prayer and fasting together, even on a cleansing program. And I personally don't know of anyone who can supervise a person who is diabetic on a fast, because diabetes holds all types of problems by itself. And, you know, of course, if they start fasting, a lot of times insulin, you know, insulin is a salt, and it's stored as a salt in the body, and when you start fasting, a lot of times the body cells start to lysis, which is what we want, and insulin is released in a tremendous quantity, and that's frustrating. Let me read to you real quickly of a little verse here out of the Hosea, and it says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, "And my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge." But then we forget to read the next verse, and it says, "Because you have rejected knowledge." See, what, so many times we have the knowledge, and he says, "I also reject you as my priest, because you have ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children." And see, we don't, a lot of times we always say, "My people perish for lack of knowledge," but we don't read the next verse right behind that. So many times we may have the knowledge, but we reject the knowledge of God. And God's knowledge is that we all should fast on a regular basis. It's throughout the whole scripture. I think it's listed almost 100 times in the Bible about how important it is and why people fasted. And yet, so many times, we just get busy in our little worries and cares of our life, and we don't even think about doing things that are so critical to God, such as fasting, and we reject the knowledge that He's given us. Not, we don't perish because of lack of it, because we have the knowledge, but we reject the knowledge, and then He rejects us as priests, because we're not drawing closer to Him, and a lot of times, I really believe this is why prayers go unanswered.
All right, let's go back to the phone. We have 20 minutes left. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm calling from Lakeland.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering about fasting and exercise. What's the limit there? What you can do on a 3 or 4 day fast? Can you, you know, play tennis and lift weights or whatever? And number two, could you recommend a good book on fasting and nutrition? Thank you.
Okay. Yes, a good question. I continued to exercise to my 7 day fast, but I've changed my program and made it considerably lighter. Because you do lose some weight and you are losing some body strength. The most important thing for you to do during fasting is our deep breathing exercises, because a lot of the toxins are being released through your lungs. That's why people who fast have such bad breath sometimes. And so we need to realize that, you know, that exercise is important as far as deep breathing, but I would certainly not overdo the exercising. And yes, I can recommend a book to you on fasting, which I consider to be an excellent book, and it's called The Miracle of Fasting, through a man by Dr. Paul Bragg. He's the one who was 92 years old when he died in a surfing accident. And I will be including aspects of fasting in the book that I'm writing. In fact, I'll include several chapters on it, and that should be available hopefully within the next 6 to 8 months. So we'll be, you know, taking all these top people that we've, you know, used as far as authors, and we'll be kind of condensing everything to make it a little bit more palatable for most people to understand.
All right, back to the phone. We have 19 minutes left. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. I'm calling from St. Petersburg. Sorry I didn't get to hear all of your programs, so you may have already covered this. But a few years ago, my sister pointed out something to me, and I'd like to get the speaker's opinion of it. She mentioned that when the Jews used to say fasting for a day, their day started in the evening, and so they were actually asleep for those first uncomfortable hours of the fast, and then they really only had, you know, they were past those first bad feelings at night, and then they were fasting until sundown of the next day. And I wanted to ask if your speaker has ever tried it this way.
Yes, I've done fasting both ways. I've started in the morning and I've started in the evening. I prefer to eat breakfast myself if I'm going to be working that day and go throughout the day, because most of the time, there are many times I miss lunch, you know, at work because of the hectic schedule we have in our office. There's many times I'll miss lunch, and so I don't even think about it because I've already eaten breakfast. And by the time I go home for dinner, I just go home and relax, read a book, and then I go to bed. Well, then I sleep through, I think, the worst part of the fast, when you start to get really hungry after about the 12th hour. Then I'm asleep, and then I wake up in the morning and I eat breakfast again. It makes it very easy to do it that way as far as I'm concerned. But I have done it the other way, in which I've started with dinner and then gone until the following dinner. It depends on your own personal body chemistry, whichever you prefer. I don't see any difference as far as from a health perspective on either way you do it. Just make sure when you break the fast, and I'm glad you brought this up, when you break the fast, that you don't go overboard. Hey, don't start cleansing your body of all these toxins and then just go bonkers and then the next morning or the next evening when you start eating all kinds of junk again, because that is not healthy. In addition to that, if you go on a 3-day fast, you should take as many days to break the fast as you go on the fast. If you go on a straight distilled water fast for 3 days, the 4th day you should only start using juices.
Uh-huh.
Don't eat any food the 4th day, just juices. And then the next day you can start eating some really heavily steamed vegetables, and then the following day you can start eating more on a regular basis. But don't shock the body, because remember, the body's digestive system is basically shut down. And if you throw a bunch of food back into it, it doesn't know what to do, and you can actually destroy all the positive health aspects of fasting after a few meals. And it's very uncomfortable for the body to have to do that. It's just not healthy.
Thank you
for calling. 17 minutes left in the program this morning. It's a Tuesday edition of Feedback and our monthly segment on nutrition with Ted Brower. We're talking about fasting this morning. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. I'm calling from Newport Richey. I'm at a payphone, so it might sound a little bad. My question is, I was told that fasting could help me to get over my addiction to nicotine. I'm a Christian, but I haven't yet been delivered from that. And it's just so hard that when you go into a fast, and you know you've got this urge for food, but yet your body at the same time is craving for nicotine. And when you break it with one, all of a sudden you end up breaking it with the other. And I had another question about marine lipids and spirulina, if they had any nutritional value, and I'll hang up and go listen.
Okay, right. Thank you. Yes, you made a very good point. I've read many, many accounts where people who are addicted to nicotine go on a fast, and the person who was heading the fast simply told them, smoke as much as you want. Go ahead, smoke. And after about the 3rd day, their body became so toxic because all the toxins were being released and they were smoking the nicotine that every time they'd smoke, they'd start coughing and hacking. And they actually stopped smoking through a 7-day fast, and their system started to cleanse itself. In addition, the same thing with the other types of food. And the person is also drinking a lot of coffee. And again, they start feeling so bad after an extended fast drinking the coffee that they had no desire for it anymore. If you drink coffee or use tobacco or alcohol or use a lot of white sugar or refined products and a lot of salty foods, you will find very quickly that this will help you to avoid these types of foods. And after the fast, you will simply not have a desire to do this again. And if it doesn't work the first time, do it again. And do it again. You can, you know, I think it's safe to fast up to 40 days. I do not recommend that anybody fast over 40 days. And then I only recommend that's 40 days. I really believe you have to be called by the Lord to do that. Because, you know, by that time, all the autolysis or cellular lysis has taken place. And the body's pretty cleansed as far as damaged or diseased cells. And you'll start digesting the good tissue cells. And that is not healthy. And this is what sometimes happens when people have anorexia or nervosa. Their body will actually start digesting good tissue cells. And one of the first tissue cells that is digested in an anorexic are the reproductive organs. Because the body has no desire at that point in time to reproduce another child or another human being. And will actually digest the ovaries and everything else. And when it does this, there is no regeneration, and they're gone. And that's why so many of the people, bless their hearts, who have anorexia, have these conditions. They end up being sterilized. Now, you also talked about eicosapentaenoic acid, or the marine lipid concentrates. Yes, there is some benefit to these products as far as they actually help to prevent cholesterol platelet adhesion in the arteries, which helps to prevent cholesterol buildup. This is what the studies have been showing. And as far as the blue-green manna, or the manna that you're speaking about, the spirulina, I'm not familiar with that product, and I haven't really read that much stuff on it, so I don't really want to comment on that because I'm not sure.
All right, we'll go back to the phone. We have 13 minutes left. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm calling from Clearwater, and I had two questions, and then I'll hang up. One was, is there a list anywhere that you can get of doctors that are trained in this area of fasting? It's not listed in the phone book in that way. Secondly, I want to fast for spiritual and weight loss reasons. Is there any procedural change? I need to lose about 70 pounds. Is there any kind of procedural change that you would recommend for somebody that has that much weight to lose?
Well, what I'd recommend is that you not try to fast all of it off at once. In other words, I wouldn't go on a fast and not eat until you lose 70 pounds, because that's not healthy. What I would recommend that you could do is go on a series of fasts. Like, for instance, you could go on a fast for 7 days just using juices. But make sure you remember that juices contain a lot of calories. You can not lose weight on a juice fast if you're not careful, because the body contains, you know, there's so many calories in juice. But you can fast 7 days on a juice fast and start eating food again for 7 to 10 or 2 weeks. Then go on another 7 days on the juice fast and stagger it like that. But don't just go on a consistent fast and say, I'm not going to eat again. That's starvation, okay, and that's not good. And so, but yes, fasting is important as far as losing weight. We have an information packet that we can give you the address that you can write off for that will tell you a little bit more about fasting on your own. As far as any medical doctors or personnel who have been trained in fasting, I know of none of them. I've been personally trained in fasting and stuff, and we'll send you some information on that. But I know it's a long ways for you to come all the way to our office in Winter Haven. But, you know, I'll certainly check for you and see if I can find somebody in your area.
And at the end of the program, we'll have Ted share his address in Winter Haven once again. Right now it's 12 before 11. Go ahead, Plagues.
Yes, I'm calling from Plant City. And I was wondering about fasting while nursing a baby. And I'll hang up and listen.
All right.
Okay, fasting while nursing a baby, again, is something that you've got to be careful. A lot of times if you shock your body while you're nursing a baby, a lot of times the milk production can stop. I don't personally recommend that until after the baby has been weaned. As far as, you know, going on a strict water fast. Now, a juice and vegetable broth fast, I don't see any problems with. But again, I would not go on a strict water fast doing that. And of course, I'd have to look up. There's our specific extra nutrients that your body needs, including calcium, while you are breastfeeding, that I'm sure that you would have to incorporate into your diet as far as taking those supplements along with the fast. And I do not normally recommend that people take supplements during a fast.
All right, we'll go back to the phone. Go ahead, please. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes. I've often been taught that there's more ways to fast than just fasting from food. Like, say, you can fast from watching TV or from doing anything before, you know, putting anything else before God. I was just wondering, is that, you know, true? Can you fast besides eating food? Is there any other way besides that?
Well, I think that, you know, the term fasting is primarily just meaning abstinence. I'm sure you could, as long as you were doing that in a spiritual, you know, aspect. And I think that the Lord would recognize that and to honor you for that if you were to stop doing certain things which probably weren't beneficial to your spiritual growth. But I think the best type of fast, again, would be to couple those activities along with a reduction in the amount of food or elimination of the food and perhaps just drinking fruit juices while you're doing it. Because I believe this is what really humbles you before God. Because when you start realizing how human we are, okay, during a fast, and all these desires start plaguing you and you have to overcome all these things, it really teaches you a tremendous amount of discipline. And that's why fasting is so, I feel, critically important for Christians as a whole. And it will really help you to obtain a more positive outlook and attitude on life. And I've told you many times on the radio that the biggest problems that I feel that Christianity has today is the incredible negative attitude of most Christians. Most Christians, you ask them how they're doing, and they say not too bad. Well, that's terrible. You know, if you have to say not too bad, that's a relative form of badly, which means things are going poorly, which means that's terrible. The Bible says, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. And we should be praising God and thanking the Lord for every single thing that he gives us, rather than just always looking at the negative side of situations. And the Lord, I think, it recognized if you fasted and abstained from these types of influences in your life that you feel are detrimental, and I believe he'd really reward you for that.
Listen, I was going to ask you one more question.
All right.
To go into a fast, can you just automatically go into one, or does it have to be God leads you into one? Or is it better for the Lord to lead you into one?
Well, I think you should enter into prayer through, you know, into fasting through prayer. And, you know, and just into, you know, just submission to God. But I don't necessarily believe that God has to say to you, hey, look, it's time for you to fast. I believe that, you know, you can actually pray to God that you wish to draw closer to him through fasting and for him to prepare your mind and your spirit for this. And I believe that he will.
I should know these things because I'm married to a preacher. But it's not always, it don't always work right back. Okay, thank you.
Thank you
for calling. We have 8 minutes left in the program, and we'll be taking just a few more calls this morning. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. I'm calling from Berto, and I was wondering what types of juices I should use on a juice fast, whether I can get them in the supermarket or whether I should go to a health food store. And I was also wanting to find out the name again of that man that wrote the book, The Miracle of Fasting. I missed it before. I'll hang up. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, his name is Paul Bragg. Now, he doesn't recommend juice fasting. He only recommended distilled water fasting. But I disagree with him on that aspect of it, because as knowing a lot about cellular physiology, I realize the importance of available carbohydrates. So, but he has some excellent points in there about attitude and stuff during fasting. In addition to that, the types of juices that you should drink are should be the fresh squeezed juice. If you have a juicer, that would be the greatest thing to use, is the fresh squeeze your own juice. But if you don't, I do recommend the health food store variety over the grocery store variety, because there's a tremendous difference in the amount of fruit pulp and other things that are in the health food variety, and so you know that they have to have a lot more of the nutrients intact, and that they're not nearly as processed.
Are any particular kinds of fruit juices or a fruit juice better than another?
I recommend primarily apple juice, because if a person has an acid system or an acid pH, if they drink tremendous amounts of citrus juice, what will end up happening is they'll make themselves more acid, which can make themselves even feel sicker during the fast than they normally would. So I would rather go with a juice that's basically pH balanced like apple juice.
All right, and the name of the book and the author again?
The Miracle of Fasting by Paul C. Bragg.
All right, let's go back to the phone. We have 7 minutes left. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I just been begin fasting, and sometimes I fast about half of a day or something like that, since I'm just beginning to start. And I heard the man say that sometimes he fasts, he eat breakfast, and then he maybe start at lunch fasting and end up lunch the next day and breakfast the next day. And I just want to know, how can that be? I thought a person had to start in the morning fasting.
It makes no difference. Just 24 hours without food is a 24-hour fast. Eat your breakfast and don't eat again for 24 hours. Or you can go on a 36-hour fast. Eat your breakfast and don't eat again until the following day and dinner. And, that's 36 hours. So it's whatever you want to do. Or, you can go on a 6-hour fast. It makes no difference. Just that the abstinence of food is the important part.
Okay, because the reason why I start a short period of time, because I didn't want to overdo it at first.
That's very smart, and I recommend that you continue to build it up, and after a while it'll become second nature to you, and you'll be amazed at all the spiritual growth that you're going to achieve through fasting.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Just about 6 minutes left in the program. Phone lines are still open this morning at 858-3805. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I have a comment and a question. My comment is about the water. I've been on a diet, and we are supposed to drink 80 ounces of water a day. And for those people who have a hard time, who say they can't drink water, I was one of those, and I find that if I drink 2 glasses of water in the morning, then I'll be all right the rest of the day. I can continue to drink water. And my question is, I noticed you said distilled water. I drink natural water. What is the difference? And, is there a difference between the distilled and the natural? Which is better? And I'll hang up and listen for the answer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, excellent question. This is a question that always comes up, the question of what type of water should I drink. Many people believe that they should drink reverse osmosis water or drink charcoal filtered water, but I believe that the best type of water, and I believe I can document this, is distilled water. And what distilled water is God's natural way of purifying water. It's simply rainwater that's been bottled. And not really, because if you go out and get the rainwater, okay, it's going to have a lot of poisons in it from the atmosphere, but this is the way it should have been before the atmosphere was poisoned. With all the acid rains and everything else we have now, that would not be healthy water to drink. But what water is, what distilled water is, the water is boiled in a tank and is turned into steam vapor. The steam vapor is passed through coils with a fan blowing over the coils, which causes them to recondense as like rain. And it drips into a stainless steel tank, and the tank has no impurities or anything to it. And the water is absolutely pure. It has no salt. It has no anything in it, no chemicals. Period. It's pure H2O, and that's all it is. And this is the best form of water to drink. Natural spring water and many of the natural waters, they also have a lot of trace minerals and a lot of toxins in them. And a lot of these things need to be eliminated out of the body. Also, distilled water is a universal solvent. It'll dissolve just about anything. That's why it has to be kept in the stainless steel containers. It'll actually start picking up the taste of any container that it's in. And it will actually help to draw the poisons and the toxins and the salts out of the tissue cells, because it is so pure in itself. And so that's why I recommend that you consume at least half your body weight in ounces every day. If you weigh 160 pounds, I suggest that you consume 80 ounces of distilled water a day. And the best way to do it is to drink 4 ounces of water every half hour for optimal results. And that's not very much. You can do all 80 ounces in 10 hours. And you see, it doesn't take that long. And 4 ounces is just a swallow. People say, well, I can't drink that much water. Well, that's not that much water. If you drink 4 ounces every half hour, that's just a swallow every half hour. And our body, remember, loses quite a bit of water throughout the day just through respiration and through breathing. And so it's important that we replenish that water supply every single day in our body with good, clean, fresh water.
We have just 3 minutes left. We'll go back to the phone. Go ahead, please.
Hello. Yes. First of all, I'd like to say how much I appreciate your faith in Jesus and your witness. I understand that we are in the last days, that we're in a war with the devil. And you mentioned that earlier, that there were our enemies out there trying to destroy us too. That we have to fast and pray in order to have the victory. I feel that we should be joining more together. I appreciate Pastor Strader's conviction about this. And I just wanted to let you know that Jesus loves you, and I love you. Thank you for your program.
Oh, God
bless
you so much.
Thank you for calling. We're going to take one last call this morning. We have just about 2 minutes left. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm calling from Tampa. I have two quick questions. One was, I find that when I'm trying to fast on a regular basis, that I find that I'm bringing my motivations under suspect, because I'll begin thinking about how much weight it's going to help me to lose, and then I'll start to look over at my spiritual motivations and think I'm getting confused. And I'd like you just to address the spiritual battle, perhaps, in that way. And the other question I had is there any information that you have on, if you are pregnant, a type of a program of nutrition that you can be on? Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much. Let me go ahead and give you some quick comments on that. Satan is going to not want you to fast, number one. If you're in the middle of a fast, he'll make you think you're doing it for just strictly physical reasons, and he'll try to condemn you for it. So ignore that and continue to pursue the spiritual aspect of fasting. The physical aspect of it is just a bonus. Secondly, yes, we do have some information we can send you. We have a detailed information packet that we can send you from our office. Now, there is a cost on this packet, so you can call or write our office for the cost on it. And it contains three booklets, and it has one booklet this time this month that is specifically designed for cleansing the body's tissues. And it's an excellent booklet. We just put it into the packet. And it also has an updated tape on colon cleansing, and also on cleansing the body's tissues through fasting. And so our address is 3009 West Highway 92, Winter Haven, Florida, 33881. And our phone number at our office is area code 813-956-2733. That's 813-956-2733.
And fasting has been the topic this morning. Next month, Ted will return with his wife, Sharon. And she'll be doing a lot of the talking, I think, next month, because she'll be talking about purchasing nutritious foods and preparing them as well. That's a question that's come up often during the monthly program of how do we change our buying habits and how do we prepare this food so it's nutritious. We'll look forward to that next month. Ted, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
You've been listening to Feedback, a public affairs presentation of WCIE. Unless otherwise stated during today's program, cassette copies of the broadcast are available at a minimal cost by writing Feedback in care of WCIE, 777 Carpenter's Way, Lakeland, 33809. Be certain to mention today's date when writing. The address again, Feedback, in care of WCIE, 777 Carpenter's Way, Lakeland, 33809. Opinions expressed on Feedback are not necessarily those of WCIE.
Stay tuned for news on FM 91, WCIE, Lakeland.